The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. During the Ed Morse Big Win Sales event, save up to $17,000 on all remaining 2018s. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He'll take up to $17,000 off your next Cadillac. Right now, lease CT6 sedans, just $399 a month. That's Cadillac Performance, only $399 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com and get all the details. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, so easy to get to. They have Cadillac certified pre-owned, 6-year or 100,000-mile warranty, 172-point inspection and reconditioning process. So much offered with Cadillac certified pre-owned. Get to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They do such tremendous philanthropy at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're going to hear from General Manager Terrell Hopkins here soon. And we'll also have information on how you can go see Lightning Coach John Cooper out at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. How about that, Lightning fans? EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website. And here's Ira.
The guy's just phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday, September 18th, Victory Tuesday, we'll call it, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, television star, radio star, podcast star, and of course, columnist, Hall of Fame voter extraordinaire, even mows his own lawn. He is Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well, man. I mean, it's 2 days. I still haven't come off that victory at Ray J. Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you're listening, that outfit of yours, don't wear that on the streets of Brooklyn, my friend. I don't care if you went to Harvard. I don't care if you can solve a Rubik's Cube. You ain't getting through Bensonhurst with that outfit. But for one day, it was perfect. And you know what? It's the right – it's poking fun at yourself and staying in a good frame of mind. Stevie, you read my column on Monday. You edited it out. It's all about remaining focused, Lee. This has happened before. People forget in 2011, I believe the Bucks might have started 4-2. Then they lost their last 10 games.
That's right. They went to London and it all collapsed.
Yeah, they were feeling good about themselves, and it's happened not often around here.
I forgot about that. They went to London and kaboom.
You know, Steve, one thing I was telling Lee before you got here, a little late, by the way, a little late. I know you had a calamity. You'll tell our listeners a little bit.
A
they're not
going
to believe what you said. But I was saying to Lee, Steve, this 2-0 start is fantastic, but it also camouflages a couple of real issues. And just to throw them out there, you know, we're not going to talk about it too much, but where's Ronald Jones? Noah Spence? What's going on? Nobody knows what the hell's going on. I heard Cutter's explanation on Monday. It made no sense. We got to pick our best 46, but we're not down on Noah Spence. What did you just say? You're telling me that Nassib gives you a better chance to win than Noah Spence. That's what you're saying. So nobody's talking about, you know, running games going nowhere. On Sunday, it didn't do anything. But nobody's talking about that. That's a story for another day, my friend.
It is, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper is the other voice. We are JoeBucksFan.com. Of course, Ira's podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Great to hear their exciting offers, Ira, to open the podcast. And look, there's so much to talk about. But I'm going to throw this right at you first because I've been wanting to ask you, and you brought it up. And I'm curious to see what Lee thinks. Fitzpatrick goes out there in the outfit that everybody's seen. I know I was in there. You guys weren't in that news conference. It was funny. I was laughing out loud.
Yeah.
It was really, really funny. Everybody's seen the photo. But Ira, Ryan Fitzpatrick, smart guy, Harvard guy, 14 years in the league, he knew that the minute he went out there, that outfit and him personally was going to be the story of the NFL. I listened to Jim Rome's show today, driving around, national guy Jim Rome.
Clones.
He did an entire segment on Ryan Fitzpatrick and his outfit and the Bucks and punching the Eagles in the mouth, and it's everywhere that you go. Why did Fitzpatrick, in your mind, put all the spotlight on himself and tell the world, I'm the guy down here in Tampa, look at me?
I didn't get the impression that that was the message from Ryan Fitzpatrick, Lee. He's trying to laugh at himself, have fun with himself. DeSean Jackson was right there. He's laughing louder than Fitzpatrick is. Leave it to Steve to try to put a negative spin on a little Ryan Fitzpatrick.
What negative? I don't think it's negative.
I don't see. Now, look, he's enjoying his moment. You know, Lee, he's been a vagabond, a journeyman, a vagabond.
Didn't I call him that once?
Call him what you want.
People got mad at me.
He's been with seven teams. Now, people forget, you know, he almost led the Jets to the playoffs a few years ago.
But
I pointed out that he wouldn't have signed with the Bucs in 2017 if he thought he had a chance to start for any team in this league. So he had been resigned to the fact that he was going to be a backup. And now this thing happened with Winston's suspension. He got his shot. Right now he's the hottest quarterback in football. His team's the talk of the league. And he's a big part of it. Lee, he's averaging 13.4. I still can't wrap my mind around it. Maybe Thomas Bassinger can, but I can't. 13.4 yards a pass attempt? I mean, the next guy is, Pat Mahomes. He's about 9 or 10. I mean, that's a hell of a number. 13.4 is off the chart. So I don't have any problem with what Pat Fitzpatrick's doing. Everybody knows. Now, what's the first thing he said? It's a quarterback's dream to play in an offense like that. That doesn't sound like he's trying to hog the spotlight over there. Lee, I got no problems with him. But remember, he's going to be back on the bench in week 8 if things go the way I think they're probably going to go. And he's going to have his weak spots, and Jameis will get his chance.
That's
but not right now.
That's interesting. I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I don't know if that was calculated by Fitz or not. It may have been, but I don't think it was a malicious way in any way. I think most Bucs fans know that was all DeSean Jackson's bling, his clothes. But DeSean Jackson was dressing Fitz. Fitz was standing there with his family. DeSean Jackson's taking off his bling, unbuckling it, buckling it on him, putting the coat on, making sure the coat was just right, making sure it was zipped up. And all the while, DeSean Jackson was laughing, just giggling like a 13-year-old girl. He's having such a good time.
Stevie, does anybody appreciate Ryan Fitzpatrick more at this point than DeSean Jackson? He's getting the football, baby, and he's getting it in stride. In stride.
He leads the NFL in receiving yards. So he's,
And that's not based on volume. That's 30 yards a
Ira, the guy has caught every ball this year targeted to him. Every single ball.
And he's in 8-yard square outs, my friend. You're right.
It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, he's never had a better start than that. And it's a lot of fun. I wasn't being negative.
I know.
I think your column was about, hey, beware of the spotlight. And I think Fitzpatrick understands that. The guy played New York. They got off to a great start. He knows that, look, I can handle the spotlight because I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. I'm riding this as best I can. Let's take the spotlight off Mike Evans and these guys and put it on me. I can handle it. And
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Because he had to know what was going to happen. And he's just too smart.
Obviously, Fitzpatrick was an intelligent guy. He's a savvy guy. He's been around. And he's like, you know what? This team's got a habit of the young guys getting a little too heady. So I'll take some of the spotlight, get it away from them, and, let's win some games. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But here's something I noticed, and it came to my mind when Justin Evans, with about 6 minutes to go in the game, he had that collision with the Eagles running back along the left sideline. He was trying to make a play. It was fourth down. He broke it up. But he got clobbered on the hit. It was a ferocious hit. I thought he was concussed. I thought he was out. I mean, it was a nasty hit. And of all the people, all the Bucs players, and there were none that I recall, except for one, of all the Bucs players to come off the bench and go check on Evans, it was right around the 15 or 12-yard line, DeSean Jackson. I noticed DeSean Jackson's talking up a little bit more. Cutter's even referenced that during training camp. I just get a sense that DeSean Jackson, like people like to hear about leaders, like to talk about leaders. I get the sense that he's, this might be my last shot. I'm 31. Who knows what the future brings? We might have a good team here. It's almost like he's becoming a leader. He's taking steps to be a
leader. I hear you, Lee. And Steve, he won me over. DeSean Jackson won me over last year in his season of misery because he came in with a bit of a diva reputation. And I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it. But for the most part, he kept his emotions in check, and you can imagine how frustrated he was.
First game, I think he was marching up and stomping up and down the sidelines.
When the season's over and your head coach says the guy's open all the time and we couldn't get him the football, and he's not bitching about it, that's impressive for DeSean Jackson.
Speaking of calculated, I always thought, and I still do, that was calculated by Cutter because he knows Jameis. You could tell Jameis, you stink at this, and Jameis would agree with him. Whereas DeSean Jackson, you got to massage a little ego there.
All right, Sage, so much to talk about. I pulled up the number here as we were talking because I know you love numbers. DeSean Jackson, you may never hear this again for another receiver, Ira, in history. 9 catches, 275 yards and three touchdowns. Unbelievable. And you laughed at me when we started this, before this season started. I was putting out there the prospect of DeSean Jackson in the Hall of Fame and having a great year and what that might look like. Right now, he, Jerry Rice, and Sterling Sharp, they're the only guys with, I think, they're all tied with the same number of 75-yard touchdowns and more.
Nice.
And he may be the all-time leader by the end of this season.
You know what? If Jackson does get in this room and he plays another 2 or 3 years and his final numbers are Hall of Fame worthy of discussion and he gets in there, I probably wouldn't be making the case for him because he played 6 years in Philly, played for the Redskins, and finishing up
Sal
with
Powell loves him. Did you see Sal, your buddy Sal?
I saw Sal Powell.
Let's tell the story here. Ira,
sitting
of course,
next to me all freaking game long.
Ira's too.
And crowing about his tennis victory over J.P. Peterson. You know, at Harbor Island. I gotta listen to this. Meanwhile, I could beat both of them.
Exactly. Meanwhile, you're better than Peterson. The funny thing is that Ira is too good. He's too good to sit with us. He doesn't sit with us. He sits on his little perch back there.
I got Fred Goodall, the guru.
And sometimes he has a guest. And Sal Powell, he's right there with you. He called you the closer.
He called me the closer, and he was also sitting there with his mouth open when the Bucks went up 27-7.
What is it? The game over?
Well, instead of giving the Bucks all kinds of credit, he's telling me how bad the Eagles look, what the Eagles aren't doing. The guy believes Philly. I mean,
that's Philly,
great.
Yeah.
You know, that's South.
By the way,
I'm surprised he didn't bring a cheesesteak to the game.
your friend on the Hall of Fame voting committee, Dershowitz.
Domowicz?
Yeah, okay.
My former friend, because he was the guy that made the case for Brian Dawkins. He stole my lunch over there.
Well, I saw you chatting with him after the game.
Yeah, I did. I chatted a little.
Would he be open-minded to Jackson? He'd have to present him. Would he be open-minded to Jackson in the Hall?
I think he would, but he better make sure I don't have a wide receiver to present because I'm going to bury him next time in that room.
Hey, if Jackson plays another 2 years here and the Bucks do something great, maybe it is you. Maybe it is you, Ira. You never know.
You know, one thing I did ask a couple of guys in the room on Sunday is about Jackson specifically. And how he opens things up for everybody. Mike Evans was talking about it. Boy, was that missing last year. Defenses would constrict the field. They're not worried. Jameis can't get him the ball or he's not open. They didn't show it. They just didn't show the big play. If you don't show the big play, they're not scared. Now,
they're terrified.
Going forward, they're terrified.
Now, how much of that is the offensive line? Is it the offensive line giving quarterbacks time to throw, which in turn...
What are you trying to steal? You're trying to steal my Wednesday column over there at the Kemper?
No, I know.
Those guys up front are doing a heck of a job. Not so much in run blocking, because it wasn't good Sunday. But, boy, these plays take time, Steve. These long plays. That first 75-yard play, that first snap of the game, that play took time to develop. Beautiful pocket around Fitzpatrick right now. Beautiful.
Hey, we were saying the same thing against the Saints on these
plays,
and
that's
what it takes. Couple things, Ira. First, your podcast can be found iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Definitely subscribe. You get a free alert. It's just that simple. We checked before our taping tonight, Ira, and in the real-time Google Play national rankings, all subjects, you're still there. Top 50 wedged between Crime Stories podcast with Nancy Grace and something called We Study Billionaires, and after that's a couple of political podcasts.
Wait, I don't want to be wedged between Nancy Grace and anybody. She's a shrew. I don't want to be next to Nancy Grace.
Now, that's a new one on me. Shrew. I got to look it up.
Now, she made her name on that O.J. Simpson trial. That's 25 years ago. Move on, Nancy.
Sage. All right. Now, look, the Fitzpatrick madness is everywhere. And to me, and again, I never had any sinister thought, but with what Fitzpatrick did, he endeared himself to endless streams of Bucks fans, made new Bucks fans. That puts even more pressure on the organization when this eventual Jameis decision comes up. Now, I heard, everybody heard you say week 8, so you must have something brewing in your head there.
Wow.
But that aside, Sage, what do you think is going on in the offices of Team Glazer? Where do you think their minds are, if you can dare to speculate?
You brought up Team Glazer. Now, look, we know how things operate at One Buck Place and how they've operated since 1995. And if anybody thinks that the Glazers are not going to have any kind of input into who's under center for the Bucks going forward for the rest of this season, you're crazy. Who can argue with Fitzpatrick right now? And probably, I would say the way things are going, it would probably take more than one mediocre performance, considering with the bye week and, you know, the short week and everything, to get Winston back under center in week four. I think it's looking bleak for Winston to play in week four. Bleak.
Okay.
Not impossible, but bleak.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a pattern or not. Most of the national guys are Northeastern types. And whether it be Mike Tanner, whether it be Albert Breer, to a lesser degree, Peter King, they're all basically saying, you better have a quick hook. Carriage is going to turn to a pumpkin here very quickly. Is it the offense, or is it Fitz?
Well,
do you believe that, by the way, that he's going to turn into a pumpkin pretty soon?
If he plays very poorly against Pittsburgh, it's a new ball game. You reevaluate. If he's got to play poorly. If he plays okay and the Bucks lose 23-20, I still think it's a tough call, because there's two opposing forces at work here. One, by the end of the 2018 season, you have to have a better feel for whether Jameis Winston is your guy. That's an overriding issue here. It's overarching. We can't get away from that. There's money decisions to be made. You got to know if you got to go, you know, with the draft, the free agency, or looking for somebody. You don't want to, but you got to decide whether you have to. On the other hand, you got a coach and a GM that are playing for their lives, and your teammates to worry about. You got, you know, some other 45 guys in that room to consider. And right now, they're fully behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why shouldn't they be, Steve? So anybody who thinks this is an easy call is crazy. But I'll tell you what, if they're 3-0 and they make a move, there'd be an insurrection at One Buck Place. Poor Richie Lou would be getting in his car. He'd be the first guy in line down there with the torches and the tiki torches.
By the way, I had to look up Shrew. That threw me a curveball.
S-H-R-E-W.
Yes.
It was once a horror movie called Attack of the Killer Shrews. No, Nancy Grace was not in it.
Well, the definition that I found, see if you agree.
All right.
A person of low wisdom.
You know, I like that. It's kind of the opposite of the sage, Steve. It's the anti-sage. All right, anyway, Fitzpatrick is endearing himself to his teammates.
Yeah, no, he's beloved. I mean, the Bucks haven't been 2-0 against two good teams since 2005.
And they're 2-0 because of their offense. We're not discovering plutonium around here.
Here's two interesting
things.
You guys
are averaging 37.5 points.
Two interesting things for you, Ira. I'll spit them both out, then you guys can comment. First, Jason Light was on Buccaneers Radio Network before the game. Yeah, of course, I'm listening.
I should have staked them out, but I didn't do it. All right.
And he went out of his way, and the quote, money quote is, "We really, really trust Fitzpatrick." Very interesting phraseology there. And he went out of his way to say, hey, you know what? And clearly he's been thinking about it. He's like, you know what? Fitz is younger than a lot of starting quarterbacks around this league. And including, he didn't say this, but
the guy's 35, Lee.
Hey, Roethlisberger's 36, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Rivers. Now, all the old guys.
Isn't Rodgers 35?
He's 34. I looked it up.
34.
Right. Now, the common thread with all those guys is they're going to be on Hall of Fame ballots, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will be watching on television. But it's at least in Jason Light's head, like, hey, well, you know, it's not crazy to have a 35-year-old quarterback. But part two of that is, I'll leave you with that
for
now.
The other side of that is Fitzpatrick's track record. Stevie's got a long track record, Lee, that shows, you know, eventually he's going to return to form, and his form is a good backup.
Oh, the other part is I was looking up offenses, top five offenses, scoring offenses in the NFL. And if you just go back 5-6 years, everybody who's a top five or six scoring offense makes the playoffs, except for the Saints pre-2017. So, do you believe that the Bucks, Lee, Ira, that they can average 27 points going forward with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because if they can, that's going to make them a top five offense, and they're probably marching all the way to the playoffs.
You know, Steve, it's funny you say that, because the team right now that they resemble the most is the Chiefs. And I know the Chiefs very well, and you guys know that I follow them closely. Their defense is not very good, Kansas City. It's just not. They got ripped to shreds by San Diego, by the Chargers. Somehow they won on the road in week one. It's a hell of a win, because most people think the Chargers are going to win that division. Then they go to Pittsburgh, and they never beat Pittsburgh. They just don't do it. And Mahomes goes crazy. 6 touchdowns, and nobody remembers that Roethlisberger, you know, got his, and Antonio Brown got his, and They want a shootout. So, look, Steve's been doing the research. You average 27 points, you got a pretty good chance to win 10 games.
Mm-hmm. But with this defense, the Bucks, oof.
Well, they played considerably better against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles are not
the Saints. Considerably, they played better, yeah.
The Eagles are not the Saints. Without Le'Veon Bell, I would put Pittsburgh's offense somewhere between the Saints and Philly. With Le'Veon Bell, you know, they're right there with New Orleans. So,
and he has not showed up. He did not show up today at Pittsburgh's practice.
Boy, you know, I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown's tweeting crazy stuff. Trade me and see what happens. He put that out on Monday. I don't know what's going on. Mike Tomlin's got problems over there, Steve. Maybe Doggy's right. Maybe Tomlin's in trouble.
What do you mean you don't know what's going on? They're winless. And their best player isn't showing up, and the team's imploding. That's what's going on.
Well, their defense, which wasn't bad last year, has been terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And the way things are looking right now, Fitzpatrick could have another huge game on Monday night right in front of Tony Dungy, who's going to be saying, I told you so. Look out for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. You say Tony Dungy's on the Buck bandwagon, too. You guys see that.
Yeah.
What did I tell you about the Bucks? They were going to beat the Eagles. They were, you know. Hey, like DeMar Dotson said Sunday. You know, here come the people jumping on the bandwagon. You know what? That's okay.
Yeah,
if those
care.
People fill up Ray J, that's okay.
And I know that you know it, and I know it. There are people out there that can't wait to dance on Jameis's grave. They want to hand the job over to Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on.
They want Jameis cut yesterday. Well, for the people screaming, and I'm sort of kind of pointing at you too, Ira, but you know I love you. The people screaming, well, Fitzpatrick is winning. Jameis can't win. Well, guess what? Jameis has as many winning seasons as Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's no joke. Fitz has one winning season in his career. Jameis was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
My counter argument, and it's a simple one, they had the same weapons last year. Mm-hmm. You know, except for Cutter playing Doug Martin inexplicably for Peyton Barber. And Barber's not been a big factor through two games this year. Not a big factor. So that I discount that. They had the same weapons to throw to, the same targets. O.J. Howard was here. DeSean Jackson was here. They were both healthy. And the Buck weapons did not show up in 2017. Didn't show up.
It's two different years. You know, I mean, it's two different years. And
now what I'm saying is at some point, Jameis Winston's going to get that job back this season.
I mean, I don't know that, but you believe
that? I do believe that. Yes, okay. I do believe that.
And we're going to talk about it. If you want to go to the Steelers game, you got to get those tickets at fanretreat.com using your Joe Bucks fan discount code. A lot of people use that for the Eagles game. And here's some more information about our friends at Fan Retreat. FanRetreat.com is where you want to get all your Bucks tickets, home and for road games as well. Every NFL ticket, Rays games, Lightning games, all event tickets, concerts, FanRetreat.com is your home. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. And in general, Fan Retreat does not have all the fees you're going to find with other secondary market ticket outlets. FanRetreat.com. Also, as a one-stop shop, you can get your airline tickets and book your hotel rooms right there for your retreat and your event. FanRetreat.com. You've heard about them here on the Ira Kaufman podcast for a long time. Check them out, FanRetreat.com. All right, Ira, we are back. Discounts, FanRetreat.com, Joe Bucks fan code right there. You can get your tickets, download them right there. The Steelers game coming up. We're going to talk plenty about that. Our next podcast is probably going to be later on Thursday. We got a little more wiggle room with the everything going on at $1 being pushed back and the game on Monday night. So we'll have a long preview podcast. So week 8 is your prediction right now as we sit here?
Well, I threw that out there. I think it'll be before week 8. I think it'll be before
week
8.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. I'm basing it on Fitzpatrick's past, his resume. You know, and I got nothing against Fitzpatrick.
He's been the
best quarterback in football through 2 weeks. but it's only 2 weeks. It's only 2 weeks, guys. He's going to take his lumps at some point. And Lee's making a strong point, though, Steve. The Winston skeptics are starting to feel emboldened. You can sense it.
You like that word, huh?
And, yeah. And they want him dumped. They want him out. And I think they're carried away that Fitzpatrick can do this for 17 weeks, 16 games. And his track record doesn't suggest that, Lee, Steve. It just doesn't. Ride him and enjoy it while it's going on.
Yeah, I think it was Albert Breer or Mike Tanner, one of the two. Albert Breer, the MMQB, and Mike Tanner is a columnist for Bleacher Report. One of the two said, have the hook ready. That's what they were saying, but have the hook ready. Now, here's what I'm going to throw at you, Ira. The Ronald Jones mystery. thus far, a 38th pick overall in the draft, has been inactive twice. Yet, Dirk Cutter and the Bucks have seen fit to not just have active, but give the guy carries a undrafted rookie free agent, Sean Wilson. Now, I hear a lot of people say, oh, Ronald Jones really didn't get a chance. You know, they didn't have decent blocking. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sean Wilson played behind scrubs, too. What is your take on this mystery
My
here?
My take is it's all about Ronald Jones. It's not about Sean Wilson. It's about Ronald Jones. You would think you would favor the second-round pick over the undrafted guy. All things being equal, you give the second-round pick some carries. They see Ronald Jones all week long in practice. If they thought he was going to help him on Sunday, he'd be active. And by the way, now you can add Noah Spence's name to that list, Stevie. Strange things are going on in Tampa. The good news is Vita Vea and Brent Grimes could be back, possibly, for Pittsburgh. But as far as Ronald Jones is concerned, and I don't want to hear any more coded messages from Dirk Cutter about we're not down on Ronald Jones. He said the same thing on Monday, you know, about Noah Spence. We're not down on Noah Spence, but, you know, we got to give the 46 guys that give us the best. Well, that tells me you're down on Noah Spence. You know, we're not born yesterday over here, Stephen. That doesn't mean he can't get out of the cellar. Right now, Ronald Jones is in the doghouse. There's no other way to look at it. He's in the doghouse,
Stephen. Well, Cutter's going to say he's not in the doghouse. He's just...
I'm done sound effects over here, Stevie.
Is that how you get Dante's attention? It's time for dinner?
Hey, look, reason he's not there is they think he's their worst running back. So you call it whatever you want. He's not playing, and that's awful for a number 38 overall pick in the draft. But you know what? The offense is humming. So even with some of the struggles in the run game, and let's face it, 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left, they wanted to run the clock out. They couldn't get a positive yard.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a positive
yard. Now, the Eagles lead the league in rush defense, Steve. They're number one.
I understand, but still, one thing I didn't like, I don't know what you guys thought, but when they did want to run the ball late, they were just showing run. Why not spread it out, go four wide, and run out of that? The opening play of the game that Lee was sort of referencing, which was Sean Wilson had the first carry of the game, opening play. Go back and watch the tape. They got four wide. They hand it off to Wilson. He gets a lane, and he's gone for 9 yards. I don't know. I didn't like that.
You know, by the way, Lee, speaking about the late fourth quarter offense when nursing the lead, let's throw this out there and get it out there right now. Second and 13, 2.5 minutes left. You don't want to give the Eagles the ball back. Their offense is starting to hum, and the Buck defense starting to wear down in the heat. And who can blame them?
Yeah.
I was out there at 10 in the morning, and I was dying. And I was just sitting in a chair over there. By the way, Ricky Reynolds had a nice little towel, and I had a gnarled little tissue. That's amateur hour. Amateur hour for the Sage.
For people who don't realize how hot it was, I just saw this today. Paul Delgado, the meteorologist, Channel 13, great guy. Whatever time of the morning it was, Sunday morning, the temperature was 84 degrees. Oh, no, excuse me. The low for that evening, the evening prior,
you're
was
right.
84. That was the second highest low of the summer.
And we're in late September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I'm saying is,
second and 13, you're trying to maintain possession, and Mr. Munkin trusts Fitzpatrick to throw a 17-yard pass. I believe it was to DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Critical play. Then Mike Evans added another critical play 20 seconds later. But, you know, in the past, I think we've seen the Bucs run the ball on second and 13 and go nowhere and end up punting. Hats off to Munkin. Gutty call, and they executed. Both sides get credit, the execution and the confidence that Munkin showed in that passing game.
I hear you, Sage. I hear you. I still wish you had more insight on the Glazer mindset toward this Jameis thing because it's fascinating. It's a tough decision. You can't screw it up because once, if Jameis comes in, right, let's say he comes back week five after the bye, they go to Atlanta and he throws a clunker out there, you're going to have people screaming from all over town.
Yeah.
It's a very tough decision for Cutter and he's got to stick with it. When he does it, you can't play back and forth. You can't play Mickey Mouse quarterbacks. It's a tough spot.
You know, the dynamics shift. It's very fluid, Lee.
It is.
For instance, if they lose to Pittsburgh, you know, and Fitzpatrick plays okay, but they lose. And then they decide to give Winston a little extra time to get acclimated, so they don't start him in Chicago. And if the Bucks lose and they're 2-2, Winston's coming back in Week 5, and there's no discussion.
That's right.
There's no discussion. But what if they win in Chicago and they're 3-1? And, you know, I mean, it's very fluid. It's very fluid. But the Glazers will have input. Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
You think there's any chance if Cutter doesn't like the input, he says, screw you guys, I'm doing what I want. Get rid of me if you want.
Have another tater tot over here because you're hallucinating right now.
You know what? I know people are one buck listening to this podcast. What I'm about to say is not a shot, not meant to be negative or anything, but Dirk is an independent kind of guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a, you know, Glazer said do this and he didn't want to. I wouldn't be surprised if what Steve says, no, I'm the coach. If you don't want me to coach, tell me. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Dirk is I don't want to use the word stubborn, but he's a strong-willed guy. That's
strong
a better term.
Yeah, that,
strong-willed
that's nice.
Guy.
Nice move there.
Might be independent, you know, because stubborn has a negative connotation, and I don't mean it to be that way. He just impresses me as a guy. If the Glazers tried that, you hired me to be the coach, I'm coaching.
Once you're an NFL coach, though, Steve, you don't like to lose that job. You don't like to lose it. You probably won't get another one.
I agree, but I'm going to go with two angles to play off what Lee said, Sage, and I want to see your face wrinkle and get all annoyed. Number one, you've thrown out there that maybe somebody told Cutter or suggested that he give up play calling. I'm going to throw this to you. Maybe somebody, that same person or people, said to Cutter, keep the play calling, Dirk. That's why we want you here. And he said, no, I'm going to give it to Monk. I think that could be just the same way. So
I don't see that scenario. I don't see
that. But there's someone from up above.
Because I think Munkin's been very strong that in the past he didn't want to give up the play calling.
You mean Cutter?
Cutter didn't want to give up the play calling.
So you think there might be a conspiracy theory here?
No, but I think Steve's scenario has less validity than mine. Mine is there was an urging, there was a suggestion, give Munkin a chance.
And number two, we still don't have an answer to the Jay Hayes defensive line coach mystery because somebody signed off somehow, some way. This guy got a contract extension with the rest of the coaches and was fired 3 weeks later. That doesn't happen very often. And I don't know what made that happen. I'm not saying Cutter fired him, but
it could have been an incident with Jay Hayes in that interim
period.
That could
something
have been.
Weird.
Could have been. Maybe Buckner became available.
I think that was probably a leading factor. I really do. Now,
by the way, the pass rush was a lot better on Sunday against Philly.
It was.
And, of course, Breeze very, very difficult to sack.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, Nassib whiffed on one sack of Breeze. Had him in his clutches.
Pierre Paul was much more of a factor against the Eagles.
Yes.
And I don't think he was 100% either.
I'm going to throw in my 2 cents real quick on the number one. You know, the potential conspiracy theory and Munkin calling plays, things of that nature. Maybe I'm naive, and I'm usually the guy jumping on conspiracy theories, reading between the lines, all that stuff. And I'm not just saying this is contrarian. I'm being honest when I say this, and everything I say, it's coming from my heart. I'm not just saying it for shtick. I'm not Colin Cowherd. I think Cutter, it was twofold why he gave up play calling duties. One, I really believe I think he's a good coach. And Cutter impresses me as a guy who's going to study all kinds of angles to see how he can improve. The fact that the Glazers have an itchy trigger finger, he's coming off a 5-win season, might have been motivation. Like, you know, maybe I ought to do some things I don't want to do. I also think part of it is Munkin probably had offers. I'd be shocked if he didn't have offers to coach, name a college. Or he's got friends all over the place. Maybe
so he had 1 foot out the door.
I don't know about 1 foot out the door, but he had options. And maybe another option might have been, you know, he had a friend with an NFL team, so I'll give you play calling duties. And Munkin probably went to Cutter. I'm speculating here. Like, hey, I want to stay here, but so-and-so wants me to go to you pick a city, and he's going to let me have play calling duties, but I'd rather stay here.
As usual, the Kemper scenario makes a lot more sense than yours. I have no problem with that.
Oh, thank you, Sage.
Nicely done, Lee. Nicely done.
I appreciate it, Ira.
By the way, another thing that this 2-0 start is covering up, like a deodorant does, besides, you know, where the heck is Spence and where's Ronald Jones, nobody's talking about where's Brayton Humphreys. See? Nobody thinks
Great.
About all the negatives. Nobody thinks about all these little side
What's
issues.
What's the negative? They just bring him the scoreboard up. He can't throw it to everybody.
It's not a negative, but it's a cute little issue.
When's the last time Brate had so few snaps?
He's not getting targets. He's not getting snaps. But you know what? When O.J. Howard runs 75 yards with a 12-yard ball, who's going to complain?
I'm going to add something here to Ira. I'm going to get your juices flowing. And Steve wanted to chime in about this. Take a guess who the Bucs tried out at tight end this week over the weekend.
I saw some name.
Nick O'Leary. For those who don't know who Nick O'Leary is, he's laid to the Buffalo Bills, but he was one of Jameis' favorite targets at Florida State.
The Bucs need another tight end like you need another tater tot.
I agree with that, but if you bring in a tight end, now this could have been so, as simple as, and Steve's big on this, Light doing a favor for the agent. Yeah. That could be something like that. Yeah. However, could somebody be calling Light up asking about Brate's availability?
It's possible because Howard's taking a big step up this year.
Well, it's worth throwing out there. If the team is in contention, Ira, and everybody stays healthy and you're not throwing to Brate, you just gave the guy, I think, a $40 million contract, if I'm correct.
Only 1 year guaranteed.
1 year for Brate guaranteed?
Well, according to Sportrack, I looked it up today. I could be dead wrong. I could pull it up again. But
you have made a commitment to Brate. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, maybe he becomes somebody you float out there for a trade. I don't know. Nobody's lobbying to trade Cameron Brate. But if the season goes 9 or 10 games and you stop using the guy and you're still scoring points, you got to at least think about it.
Over the course of the season, though, you would think, Humphreys and Brate will get their catches. You would think. Everybody will be taken care of. That's the way it's supposed to work. In a well-functioning offense. Right now, they got three or four guys carrying the load.
Ira, the defense, they were better on third down. They've been better on third down than they were last year.
Yes.
So there are some positives. All these rookies and young guys getting time.
Rush defense has been good.
It's positive. Rush defense has been very consistent. And they've been, they've matched the physicality, and I think that was your point. They sort of want anytime you play Philly, it's going to be a slugfest, and they came out of this thing alive. Defensively, how would you grade what you saw if you had to stick a grade on it?
Well, they get a D for New Orleans, even with the two takeaways and one for a touchdown. And here I think they get a B against the Eagles. For three quarters, they played very strong defense. Foles is a known buck killer. Didn't do much against them. And when they needed to make plays, they made them. The pass rush was strong. Ryan Smith, Lee's favorite punching bag, played his best game as a Buccaneer. I heard that Cutter got a little choked up talking about Ryan Smith. Steve, at the podium.
Yeah,
on
I was
Sunday
in there.
Night.
It was kind of stunning. He said that it really felt like he got choked up. That Ryan Smith, in his words, has taken a lot of abuse, and he got a little choked up.
Was he looking at the Kemper when he said that?
No, I was the only one
in
the
locker room.
He wasn't looking at me, and I don't know if he meant abuse, media abuse, or if he meant
fans.
Hey, getting lit up.
Yeah.
Playing cornerback last year with no pass rush and a guy who didn't belong as a starter. He started 10 games last year, Ryan Smith. So maybe that was part of it. But
by the way, I spoke to Smith.
Might have been Lee's story.
Might have been. I spoke to Smith at his locker on Sunday, and
Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith.
Oh, okay. You got it. I was looking for him. I missed.
I congratulate him for good effort. And we talked about Quan a little bit. I said, boy, very effective on the blitz, Quan. Big play, hitting Foles, jarring the ball loose. And Smith said that Quan Alexander is the guy that gets Ryan Smith going every week of the season.
Very interesting
to
say that.
It is Quan Alexander's energy, passion, confidence that revs him up and gets him all psyched up. Look, Quan Alexander, I've said it before, he's not a finished product. He's a damn good football player.
Rough around the edges?
Rough around the edges. His hustle's off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to win so bad. And he is the pulse. He is the pulse of Mike Smith's unit right now. He is.
It's very interesting you say that because I haven't even trans transcribed the notes yet because I had so much to write about, still do. I spoke with Jordan Whitehead after the game. Came in when Justin Evans had an ugly hit. Whitehead had a couple good hits himself. You know, he's not scared to get his nose in there. And I asked Whitehead, I can't remember if I asked him, did someone pull him aside? I essentially asked, what was the vibe on the field? What was going on the field? You guys are winning. You're trying to hold the lead. You know, what was being said on the field in between plays? And he just started talking about Quan Alexander. He goes, this guy, he goes, every week he comes up to me. He's like a second coach. He's telling us what to do on the field in between plays. He was saying, you got to do this, you got to do that. He goes, I wouldn't be half the player I am without Quan Alexander. And he kept going on and on about Alexander. And then I asked Alexander, I said, here's what he just told me about you. It's glowing. Well, what's your reaction to that? And Quan said, hey, I was a rookie one time too. I know what it was like. And then Mike Smith told me that, you know, Quan has the confidence with that defense that he could be that auxiliary coach. In the locker room and on the field at the time it happened. So, I mean, and so that's interesting that Ryan Smith would say that about Quan, and virtually about the same time, Whitehead was saying similar things about Quan.
That's why we put up with, taking some bad angles and some over-aggressive play, because Alexander's got so many positives.
Yeah.
He's got so many intangibles. He's fast as heck. That doesn't hurt either. But sometimes he tries to do too much.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's a young player. He'll learn. When he puts it all together, he's going to be a real force in this league.
I can't remember who wrote this. I think it was someone from Sports Illustrated writing about Quan. The guy doesn't have any breaks.
That's not bad.
That's a good line. He doesn't have any breaks.
He must have driven in the passenger seat of Kendall Bispitz's car.
Oh, okay.
I knew that was coming.
You knew that was coming.
I mean, I don't know how much Quan has to put together. Well, we want him to stay healthy, stay consistent. But, you know, even you hear Rondé Barber on the broadcast calling him the heart and soul of the defense,
yeah,
and really emphasizing
it.
It's Quan's defense, not Gerald McCoy's. And Quan is playing like a man who also wants that contract, which he's going to get. I looked it up while we were talking, Ira. Bucks third down defense, back to middle of the pack, tied for 17th best in the league right now. So, yeah, they went from the worst, or the best to the worst.
And now we're settled back in the middle.
Now we're back in the middle. That's what they got to keep going here, because if you're going to score points, just get off the field a little bit. And I wanted to ask you about this.
They took 75 snaps on defense.
A lot of snaps.
That was brutal.
In
that heat.
And the rookies took about 90%. They were really out there. Hopefully they learned a lot. Hopefully that's the silver lining. Sage, a lot of crappy kicking around the NFL this weekend. a lot of teams.
Yeah.
A lot of games lost on kicking. But we got our own kicking issue. And I think it's a safe bet so far as we sit here today that Jason Light just – he's just throwing darts when it comes to picking a kicker. Nobody can be that bad. What do they do about this? Because if you think you're going to be a playoff team, you got to fix your kicking situation.
I think they roll with it until they think the guy lost them a game, and then they make a move.
Really? You think they might make a move?
That's another area, just like the Ronald Jones and the Spence and the rushing attack, that you gloss over. Because you're scoring 37 points and you're 2-0. I mentioned it in my takeaways.
You
Sunday
did.
Night. I'm not letting this guy off the hook. That field goal in New Orleans could have been critical. Stop missing extra points. That's the one thing he hung his hat on in 2017.
With the Jets.
I don't believe he missed one.
Right.
For the whole season. So he's got work to do. And I understand what you guys are saying. You know, you might have to nip this thing in the bud.
Well, here's the problem with that, and I don't disagree with either.
If they lose, I think they look a lot harder at the issue. That's just human nature.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what either of you guys are saying, but didn't the guy Minnesota just signed had like a 74% completion, not completion, but accuracy in college?
The guy they hired or the guy they fired?
The guy they just picked up.
I
could have sworn. Yeah. Russo, your buddy, Chris Russo on SiriusXM was talking about this today. He likened it to closers in baseball. He says the analytics people in baseball don't like closers, don't like bullpen guys. But you know what? When you get in the playoffs, you're going to need one. And what you guys are just talking about, kickers, if you're going to make a playoff run, you have to have a dependable guy.
When a guy misses, there's a feeling of dejection on the sidelines when you miss a makeable field goal or an extra point.
Sure.
You get dejected.
Look, the reason I'm harping on it is two reasons. One, New Orleans has perfect kicking conditions. And a beautiful sunny day in Tampa with no rain and no wind. Yeah. That's perfect kicking conditions, and the guy has missed two kicks in a row. What happens when we go to Baltimore in December, or we go here or there, whatever? I don't know.
You go to the Meadowlands.
The Meadowlands, exactly.
Chicago in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, we've each have mentioned the phrase, the coveted phrase, Ira, playoff run. Do you think this team has a playoff run in it? As it is constructed right now, 2-0, alone atop the NFC South, the schedule, you know, we've got two of the brutally tough games out of the way. You think this team has it in them to go 10-6 and make a run at this thing?
I got to see a little more out of the defense. I got to see a little bit more out of the defense. Now, Steve talked about if you average 27 points a game, you know, you're probably going to be on the fringe of being a playoff contender no matter what. That might be true based on the past, but first of all, I don't know if this team can average 27. It's a long season. There's going to be some injuries to the offensive line, which right now is a big part of the reason they're having so much success. I got to see a little more. I know I said if they now, I never thought they were going 0-3, but I never thought they would go 3-0 either, and it looks like they got a pretty darn good chance of going 3-0, even though your boys in Vegas have them as underdogs right now against Pittsburgh. So I would say it's too early, Steve. I'm not putting 10 or 11 wins on this team.
Lead playoff run? You smell the playoff run in this team?
In some ways, you can see the trail starting to be made. What I mean by that is Atlanta's got some nasty injuries. Carolina doesn't seem to be the same team. The Saints, at least through 2 weeks, certainly are not the same team. So you can sort of see the, what's another analogy? The breadcrumbs being laid down the trail. Whether they take advantage of that, I don't know. I think Chicago will be a big test. I really do. Going up Chicago, windy, and there that kicker will come into play. I think Chicago's better than what they showed the first week of the season. Obviously, we're recording this during Monday Night Football game. I think it's halftime. But I think
they come out of the first quarter 3-1.
That's pretty shape.
I think they're in very good shape there. If they're 3-1 coming out of,
all right,
out of
so
the first
Sage
quarter.
Needs to see more before he puts the playoff run stamp on things.
Well, I can't write a column on Monday saying you got to stay focused and then talk about how they're locked for the playoffs over there at the Kemp. I can't do it. Got to stay consistent, Steve.
Hey, you can write whatever you want, Ira. And, of course, you can drive whatever you want if you want quality and great service. Yet anything you want of extreme quality at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, their websites, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com.
What do we think of the crowd, gentlemen? What do we think of the crowd on Sunday, and what are we expecting for the Monday night game?
Hey, 9,000 empty seats in the announced attendance. That's tickets distributed and sold. I don't even know the last time an opening day didn't sell out, but it's because Team Glazer jacked up the ticket prices for these quote-unquote premium games to an extreme level. Cheapest
and,
seat.
And Pittsburgh's another premium
yep,
game.
And it's not sold out. Monday Night Football, they're 2-0 as we sit here. Dungy night, not sold out. But you know what? Cheapest ticket, Ira, to get in on Sunday, if you want it to go last minute, or your typical Ira Kaufman gets his paycheck and now he's going to make a plan, $115 to sit upstairs.
In that heat.
Yeah, $115. And if you buy it on Ticketmaster plus fees and parking and It's a tough nut.
You know, I got a couple things to get off my chest. One is attendance. One is about the heat and people at the stadium.
I guess the Redskins' attendance was terrible, too.
First time since, like, 1969 they didn't sell out, which is unheard of. You know, I think attendance is it's good radio station filler, good sports radio filler. It doesn't mean that much.
That's not where the owners are making their...
Yeah, 1970s economics. But I'm also, and this happens a lot in college football. In college football, also attendance is down across the board, not just a couple teams. But I just find it uncomfortable if I'm sitting up in a press box and it's air conditioning. And these guys in college football do it all the time. It's air conditioned. They take a shot of the crowd. Look, nobody's here. And I just want to tell these people, well, would you cough up $70 for that crap?
Like, park a mile away?
Yeah, would you do that? You know, you're getting there for free, and you got a special parking spot. You're sitting up in a climate-controlled box. So I personally find that I'm just uncomfortable with that. I think it's almost unethical in a sense. You know, it's very ivory tower looking down upon people. But the other thing I was going to say, and Justin Pulaski tweeted this out, and a couple other people jumped on it as well, non-Bucks journalism people. You know, both the Glazers and the Tampa Sports Authority, I think it was the Tampa Sports Authority, spent millions upon millions and millions of dollars upgrading and making the game day experience more comfortable for the comforted. They don't even have a $300 mister for the proletariat, for the blue-collar Joe six-pack. They don't have
a canopy.
Nothing. Not even a mister. Someone gets overcome with heat, they can go into the concourse and get none of that. No one can spring, let's say, $1,200 to buy four misters for the proletariat. You spend millions upon millions, like I said, making sure the comforted are comfortable. I just, that's a bad sign. That's a bad look.
What about the beach, baby? The beach. Enjoy the beach. No red tide over there.
How many people were there? No red tide.
No
yeah.
Red tide.
How many people were there? As hot as that was, that had to be broiling hot on that sand.
Those beer sales must have been going crazy, Steve, on Sunday.
I don't know, Sage. I don't know. But I just think that those tickets are too expensive. You know, find a way. And if you don't care about the, you see, it's a catch-22, right? If you don't care about the stadium revenue because you're making all this TV revenue, then lower the darn ticket prices. But, you know, they're trying to make as much as possible, which I get.
And I'm a capitalist. The way I look at it, if people wanted to go to the game, they'll go to the game. Peter King and Chris Russo had a big topic about this. Chris Russo, he was like, man, it's an ordeal to go to a game. And then you'd only get to see one game. Where you stay at home, you're not spending all that money, you're not going through all that hassle, and you get to pick what you want to watch.
It's a real issue for the National Football League. How well the game plays on TV is a big, big issue.
I don't think it's an issue. Sorry, Sage.
And fantasy players also want to know what's going on.
That's a good
instantaneously.
Point.
Well, you can keep track of all that stuff on your phone, and the stadium does a good job putting up all the fantasy points. And
they do.
But still,
hockey games are much better in person.
Eventually,
it's night and day.
If you'd go to a Lightning game, you'd realize it is. But
it's night and day between NHL in person and NHL on TV. Night and day difference.
Hey, I like it at the Trop. I love it out there.
You know what? They do the best they can.
I think eventually it's not a problem for the NFL as they build new stadiums, and everybody has to build new stadiums as time goes by.
Keep up with the Joneses?
No, they'll just make this stadium smaller. They'll just make them smaller to accommodate.
Like baseball's doing.
Exactly.
Those new stadiums are smaller.
Exactly. All right, Ira. Now, we're done with the game.
By the way, are you 2-0 on your picks, Isbits?
I'm 2-0 on my picks, yes. Yes, 2-0. Now, it's funny because if you asked me before the season, do I think the Bucks will go 2-0? I'd say no, but I really thought they'd win game one. But they were so damn good in game one, I thought there was just no reason why they couldn't put up points. So
I came over to the Bucks side for week two, Lee, so I evened my record at 1-1. What kind of start are you off to, Mr. DeKemper?
Ofer.
As if I didn't know. As if I didn't know.
Well, we'll
get around on Thursday.
Get around on Thursday. That's a tough game to pick. I want to see who's playing. I want to see who's going to play.
I'm happy I'm Ofer. That means I picked
Mike, Mike Tomlin's got his hands full over there, Steve, and I've always defended Tomlin. You know, Russo's clobbered me in the past. Oh, he's way overrated. I go,
Belichick.
The guy wins 11 games every year. What do you want from him? You know, he's won a Super Bowl.
Well, you know what?
He hasn't done much with Ben Roethlisberger on his team.
Russo, Schmuso. Anyway, hey, I think this team can go on a playoff run. I'm going to say it. And I think that's the expectation from the owner's suite. We're 2-0. We just beat these guys. Why can't we go 10-6 and close this thing out? 8-6. That's the expectation, and that's going to drive Cutter and all these guys. That the bar has been raised so far, Ira. Fans are going. There's going to be a lot of fans.
A month ago, people thought they're going 0-3.
I know that, but you know how many? What percentage of fans? If you had to put a percentage,
there's the Kemper with the left hand up.
He's raising his hand before he asked. It's good. What percentage of fans do you think, if the Bucks lose to the Steelers, are going to be pissed off and think that this team is underachieving? That's how far it's changed.
Instead of saying, hey, we're 2-1, we're in good shape.
Well,
Jameis could come back, we're in good shape. Yeah, that's how quick perceptions change.
So, and I think that's the same thing with the Glazers. They're not going to tolerate 4-4 after a 2-0 start. They're going to start sniffing around what the hell's going on here. And especially, and this puts this 2-0 start, for me, the most fascinating thing. This 2-0 start puts so much damn pressure on Jameis whenever he does come back. The bar is off the charts.
And that guy doesn't need pressure.
And he doesn't thrive under that kind of extreme pressure. I mean, if Fitz gives it up, they go 4-2 and Fitz loses, plays bad, and in comes Jameis at 4-3.
very much in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, 4-3 in the playoff hunt. Man, he's got everything on his shoulders. I mean, and if he crumbles, like you've said, they'll probably wash their hands up, blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, you think they will blow it up? That's a good point by Isbitz.
You think they would blow it up?
Yeah.
With all the talent they have on that team? Well, which we're watching right now.
By blow it up, he means move on from Jameis Winston.
Coach and quarterback, yeah.
Oh, coach and quarterback.
Oh, I thought you were saying, but just start from scratch.
No.
Wow.
No.
That's an interesting point, Steve.
If it plays out.
At what point, what's their record when Winston takes over? Because, look, just like you and I said, they're not going 0-3. They're not going 0-3. I don't know if you agree with me on this, Steve, but at some point, Winston's coming back this season. Am I wrong? Winston's coming back.
Hey, unless Fitzpatrick can pull rabbits out of his hat, but if they stay
his hat or his butt. I mean,
I think Fitzpatrick is gone when they're out of first place. That's how I look at it. If he takes them out of first place in the NFC South, then they'll bring in the relief pitcher, but
they'll still have a decent record, most likely.
Sure,
most likely.
Sure, absolutely. If they go 2-2, that knocks them out of first place. In comes Jameis. If they go 4-1, and next thing you know, they're 4-3, in comes Jameis. So it'll be fun. This is so much fun, Ira. Who would have thought?
And Winston has to understand, and I can't imagine he won't, Lee, that if they're 3-0, he's going to have to wait. I think he's got to – if he can't deal with that, then that's another reason to move on from him.
Probably.
You know,
and he doesn't come across as that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, in your show, Tampa 2, twice weekly with Derek Brooks – on JoeBucksFan.com.
Brooks said he's talked to Winston a lot about what's going on.
Yeah, and on the Identity Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's right. He's allowed to talk to Brooks.
Brooks said.
He's leading the discussion.
That Jameis has been leading the discussion on, hey, what happens when I come back? And this is the scenario, and it's through, or we're this scenario. And Brooks said they've been through all the scenarios, and he didn't flat out say this, but Brooks basically said Jameis would understand that he would have to be the backup. That was the implication from Brooks.
Yeah, that there's an understanding. Yeah. They're not going to be easy. Not going to be easy for Winston to be on the sidelines and hold a clipboard for Fitzpatrick. That's not going to be easy.
He did it 1 year in Florida State. He was E.J. Manuel's backup.
Right now, he can say, I did it to myself. I'm to blame.
Well, the worst part of that, if it does come to that, the worst part is that the camera's going to be on Jameis every other minute.
That's a great point.
And all the guys who do the Twitter nuggets and the still shots – the minute Jameis is seen frowning on the sideline, oh, he's pouting, he's this.
Hey, Winston didn't come over to Fitzpatrick when Fitzpatrick came off the field. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Fitzpatrick threw a pick and Jameis is making faces. So the Bucs are really going to have to coach him up to understand that everyone's going to blow stuff out of proportion. So I don't know. It's fun, Sage. All right, it has been fantastic to see you. And you want to close this podcast in any special way, Ira?
You know what? I'm still recovering from New Orleans. It's been more than a week.
How much weight did you gain?
4 pounds, my friend.
Oh, it's up to four.
Four
now.
Pounds. It's okay. Killing me on the tennis court. It's killing me. That Commander's Palace, that lunch, that was the killer right there. $80 lunch. You know, Isbitz didn't pick up the tab. I understand
now. Who picked
that.
Up the tab for
bread
your,
pudding?
Who picked up the tab for your Saturday lunch?
My wife had a Sazerac. I can't even spell it. But she said it. I think it's some kind of bourbon drink. Who has a bourbon drink? It's 12:30 in the afternoon.
You're in New Orleans.
You're in New Orleans.
And who picked up your lunch Saturday?
At the gumbo shop. Outstanding, DeKemper. Outstanding.
All right.
Oh, by the way, you guys didn't see the Sunday show.
Can't get rid of you.
Scott Smith. I'm over there with Ricky Reynolds.
I watched Sweating with a napkin.
And one of the questions, you know, Scott Smith likes to be the judge. You got to make your case. Well, this week's topic, your best three sandwiches in the world.
Ooh.
Well, Steve, I got a lead with the pastrami on rye. I mean, nothing.
In New Orleans?
No, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Pastrami on rye. And I look right at Ricky Reynolds. You'd be proud of me, gentlemen. Right at Ricky Reynolds. And I go, and don't you dare put mayonnaise on that, Reynolds. It's got to be Goulden's mustard, and you wash it down with a black cherry soda. That's the way it. Now, number two, I said Philly cheesesteak.
That's
so
pretty
there
close.
You go.
No muffaletta.
You know what? I could have said the muffaletta. I could have said it. Isbitz, we don't even want to think about what you would have came up with. Liverwurst or something.
Limburger
cheese.
We started this podcast saying Ryan Fitzpatrick wouldn't get out of Bensonhurst with that outfit.
And I follow it with pastrami on rye.
And Ira's not letting you out of Tampa.
You can't take the New York out of the kid. You just can't do it.
All right, get out of here, Ira.